شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخرى يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون بسير صلوات This is the month of Holy Ramadan, Shahr Allah, the month of Allah, and the month which is specifically associated with the Divine Book, the Book of Guidance, which is the Holy Quran. Ramadan is a month of Nuzul of Quran, the descension of Quran. And all other arrangements which are made in this month of Ramadan, which is fasting and other mustahabat which are recommended, these are all etiquettes for achieving the main goal, which is getting guidance from the Holy Quran. There are two things which are associated with the Quran before you really derive the guidance from the Quran. First is to identify the Quran itself as to what Quran is. And second is the etiquettes of understanding the Quran. There are certain etiquettes required to understand the Quran. You cannot just understand the Quran by opening it and reading it. You might understand to a certain level, I don't say it's absolutely zero. But the level of understanding which you can achieve with the right etiquettes and with the right recognition of the Quran is something different. And this is what we should try to achieve in this holy month, to go as far as possible to the best possible extent of understanding the Quran. As I said yesterday also in the night, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the host for us in this month and we are His guest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid the food mat of Quran in front of us and have asked to come on this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done the nuzul of Quran. Nuzul of Quran means, we'll talk more about this thing nuzul later on in the discussions, not today, maybe later on, to understand what is the meaning of nuzul of Quran. But in a very basic sense, if you say nuzul means understanding, establishing a bondage and relationship with the Holy Quran. Nuzul is that terminology in the Quran which primarily means association with the Holy Quran. It connects the creation with the Quran, with the Divine Book. This is what is nuzul, and we have to spend some more time on this. Understanding of the Holy Quran is only possible with the correct recognition of the book. When you properly recognize the book. And this is a generic law that from anything in the world also, if you want to derive benefits from it, you need the correct recognition. If you do not recognize something, you will not be able to derive the benefits from it. Like this is an iPad. If I go and give this to a small one-year-old kid, what will the child do with this? Throw it, bang it, bash it, play it. Because he doesn't know what is this. But if I go and give it to an IT person or a youngster or a youth, he will get the benefits out of it. Or if I go and give it to a housewife, woman who doesn't know anything about computers and all, nothing. She will use it as a lid on the utensils on while cooking to cover it. Maybe she will use it for that. Hence, anything from which you want to derive the benefits, you need to have the recognition of that thing. Without having the correct recognition, you cannot derive the benefits from that thing. It's a very common generic law which applies to everything which we are associated with in this world over here. Non-recognition of something results into one. Loss of purpose. You lose the purpose if you do not recognize the thing. You don't know what is the purpose of this thing. You don't know why I have to use it for. Second thing which happens is loss of correct status and position. One is you don't know the purpose, you lose the purpose. Second is you lose that thing which is there, it loses its correct status and position for you. And the third thing is you start to misuse it. You start to misuse the thing. Like a very simple example is a scholar, an alim in a society. If you do not know, if you do not have the recognition of an alim, for example, if a marja-e taqleed, if a mujtahid comes over here in a very simple, normal dress, we only identify scholars by their dress. In fact, we respect the dress of an alim, not an alim. What is inside the dress is immaterial to us. Okay, that is immaterial. We respect the dress. Hence, if a Maulana comes without a dress, like there is a story of Sheikh Ansari, who is a very well-known mujtahid, whose fiqh is very known and everyone studies his books in fiqh. Sheikh Ansari was once invited for a lunch or dinner somewhere. He used to wear a very, you know, a torn attire, his abba used to be stitched, his dress was very old, very down to the earth person. He went there by train, he went down to the railway station, there were some people who were there to receive him, they couldn't recognize him. He knew the address, he went to the place where the function was there. And that function had all dignities and respected big persons who were invited over there, ministers or maybe all royal family members. They wouldn't allow Sheikh to go inside by looking at his dress over there. So he returned back. Then someone approached him that, Sheikh, why did you come yesterday? There was this function. He said, please come again tomorrow. So it's fine. Next day he put on a new abaya and he went to that function. Everyone respected him, they invited inside. And when the food was served, he took this edge of this abaya and started to dip in the khuresht. In the korma khuresht which was there, people questioned, Sheikh, what are you doing? This is for you to eat, not for your abaya over here. He says, no, this is for my abaya to eat, because when I came yesterday without this, you did not invite me inside. Your marifat is not with me, your marifat is with this dress over here. As a person loses his correct status and position in the society, if you don't know, if you don't have proper recognition about him, and same thing applies for everyone. The third thing which happens is you start to misuse him. A misuse happens over. It happens like one event was going on in Pakistan with us, and one scholar was there. He did not come in his normal dress. He just came in his salwar kameez and, you know, normally he was there. One of the volunteers, you know, saw, you know, what is he doing inside. He made him with a stick to stand at the door, you know, just stand over there, don't allow the kids to come inside. You're trying to misuse that scholar over there. Hence, proper recognition of something is required to derive the rights benefits for it. And as we move forward now, you know why I am talking about this. The same thing applies for the Holy Quran. Non-recognition of the Quran has led to various consequences. Some of the consequences which I will discuss over here, one is non-effective. The Quran has become non-effective in our lives. Like, effectiveness depends on correct status and positioning. If you know the correct status and positioning, then only that thing will be effective. Otherwise, that will not be effective. Today, Quran is not effective in our lives, though it is present. It's not effective. Why? Because of non-recognition of the Quran. We have not recognized what this book is. Presence or absence of the Quran makes no difference in our life. You practically assess yourself. As Imam Sajjad al-Islam says that, the best judge for anything is human, is you yourself. You yourself judge it. That if this book was not present, what difference will it make in my life? You yourself ask this question for a few seconds now itself. If the book was not there, what difference would it make? Maybe my majlis will not start with the Quranic verse. I will not have something to recite for sawab. I will not have something to do istikhara. I will not have something to make taweez. I will not have something to kiss for barakah. That's the only difference. Fine, if these things were also not there, what difference it is going to make? This question itself, if I ask sincerely to my nafs and try to get an answer, the answer will be yes, the presence or absence makes no difference for me in my life. Which means I don't have proper recognition of the Quran, and the Quran is not playing a pivotal role in my life. It's not playing any pivotal role in my life. Why? Because of non-recognition. Though Quran is present in our homes, the first thing which we do when we buy a new home is to go and put a Quran over there. We place a Quran in a new home for sanctity, for sacredness, for barakah. Though it is physically present, but it is absent from our lives over here. And even I keep on doing a talqeen and telling you, you should bring it in your life, you should bring it in your life, it will not come in your life unless you recognize what this book is. By just doing talqeen, recite Quran, read Quran, you know, we do all these functions in Ramadan for Khatmul Quran, we give gifts to the children. It's all to attract them towards the Quran, but still the Quran is missing. Because all these things are done without recognition of the Quran. Like I was asked to do a tafsir of the Quran. Fine. We will do tafsir of the Quran in this session. But not before understanding and recognizing what the Quran is. Otherwise that tafsir will just be meanings. You will not reach the reality where Quran wants you to reach. You will never reach there. It will just be a literal tafsir of the Quran. Where you will just understand the meanings and some interpretations of what it means over here. Hence, as a result of this, the Quran acquired some other status in our lives. It is present, but with other status. As a result of this, there were some inferior thoughts and visions which were developed about the Quran and which are prevailing over here in our societies today. Now, the Quran itself knew this problem. It's not that this is a problem which I am talking about. The Quran knew this problem which is going to happen. And to resolve this issue, the Holy Quran addressed this difficulty. How? It introduced and presented itself, it introduced and presented its recognition before the journey of recognition of other things. The Quran, before helping human being to recognize other things like his self, to recognize Allah, to recognize religion, the Quran first introduced itself with various titles, with various meanings. The Quran identified itself and introduced itself before awareness of the world, before awareness of human being, before awareness of worships and practices. Everything the Quran introduced. Hence, the best source of recognizing the Quran is the Quran itself. To recognize the Quran, we don't have to go outside somewhere and ask someone what is Quran. We will go inside the Quran only and ask Quran, first tell me who are you. And then I will move forward from there. Hence, our discussion is all centered around the Quran. Though in some places we will use some traditions and narrations from the holy infallibles to basically affirm our point, to prove our point, to strengthen our point. Otherwise, Quran is enough over here. What is the meaning of recognition of Quran? Recognition of Quran means understanding and identifying things like what are the different chapters and verses in the Quran? What are the messages and principles of the Quran? What is the invitation which the Quran is giving? What is the tafsir of the Quran and what are the etiquettes related to the Quran? These are the things we need to recognize before we get inside the second level, which is the understanding. Now, our discussion is not about these things. I want to make it clear. Like when we say recognition of Quran, what do we mean? How many chapters are in the Quran? How many verses are in the Quran? What are the meanings of the verses? Which verse starts from where, which ends over there? What is the tafsir? Should I go to the Quran with wazu, without wazu? Should I touch it? Should I not touch it? All these things are not related to recognition of Quran. This is the second level, which is understanding the Quran over here. We do not intend to understand in the first phase of our discussion as to what the Quran is saying over here. What is the message which the Quran is delivering? No. That is the next phase. The first phase is to know what is the Quran by itself over here. Now there are few questions for which we need to get answers from this preliminary discussion about the Quran. What are those questions? What is Quran and what is its reality? Where has it come from? What is its source? What is its core? What is its purpose? What was Quran created for? Why did it came into existence? Why was it nuzul? Why was it descended? Why was it sent? What is the purpose, objective, need and necessity? What is the style and methodology adopted by the Quran? What is the language of this style? In what language the Quran is delivering this message? Who is the addressee of the Quran? What does the Quran wants the addressee to derive, to achieve from the Quran? Which direction it wants him to go? And what degrees, levels and forms the Quran is or wants to deliver its message? What is the invocation of the Quran and what is the invitation of the Quran? This is what we want to get answers to these questions in the preliminary discussion. Now, there are three steps towards going towards the Quran. It's like a pyramid. The base is shanakh, recognition. The second step is adab, etiquettes. And the third step is fahm, understanding. These are the three steps in which you go. The baseline is understanding, recognizing what the Quran is. Second step is developing the etiquettes to understand the Quran. And the third step is then to understand the Quran. This is how it should go in three particular steps over here. Our major difficulty lies in crossing over. As the Quran says, human being is ajal, he is very hasty. He wants to reach the end very quickly. It's like an interesting storybook, we want to know what is going to happen in the end over here. We try to go to the last chapter first over here, and then we read, oh, Zayd has killed Ahmad. So Zayd was a villain and Ahmad was a hero. This is what you come out as a conclusion if you read the last page over there. But that is not true. This is not the way it should be over here. It has to go in a sequence. It has to go in a proper steps and process over here. Entering the second stage without recognition of the first stage will have serious impacts over here. And these impacts have been seen historically, and we have been a victim of these things. Entering Quran without recognition is like visiting a town where you don't know any language, you don't understand anything, and you don't have a map of that town. Like for example, you go to China, to a small town where everything is in Chinese, there is no English. There is not a single word of English. No one understands English, and you are asked to go to a particular office or a bank somewhere over there. Imagine what will happen. You are thrown in that city, you come out of the airport, you don't know what is to be done. You ask someone, no one speaks the language. You start to walk. You will start to misinterpret things. You will look at a hospital and think this is a restaurant. These things will happen over, like it happened in the month of Ramadan a few years back. I had a guest with me from the Middle East, and he couldn't understand Farsi anything. So the time for fasting was coming near, and we were walking to find a restaurant. So as we were walking on Waliyasr, there are many furniture and kitchen shops over there. They sell this kitchenware. So the time for fasting was almost near, and he was not a Shia, so for them it is like makruh if you just pass the time of fasting. So all of a sudden I turned back and I saw he is gone somewhere. Looked around and he went inside a shop where dining tables were there, and he sat over there. He thought it's a restaurant. It was a shop which was selling kitchenware. They have furnished it by table, glasses, kitchenware on top of it. So he thought it's a restaurant because he didn't even know the language. It was written over there what it is. It was written it's a furniture shop. So this is what happens when you don't know the language, when you cannot read the language, when you don't know the culture of the town, you start to misinterpret things. If you are asked to enter inside a city without a map, what will happen? Specifically, when you go in Western countries, you don't find anyone on the street to even stop and ask someone a question, where will I go? You need a map. And if you go without a map, you are just lost totally. You will spend hours and hours and hours of moving around here and there. This is what exactly happens with the Quran. If you get inside the Quran without the map of the Quran, you will get lost. You will start to misinterpret things over here. And Ummah turns into a community, something else turns into something else. All these things happen because we don't know the map of the Quran. Recognition of the Quran means getting that map of the Quran, which should guide me how I have to move through the Quran. How, what are, which sign means what? Which logo means what? Which symbol means what? I need to understand all these things in this chapter of recognition. Hence, if you enter Quran without recognition, like entering a city as a stranger without knowing what that city is, it will result into sargardani, astonishment and bewilderedness. You will be astonished, you will be confused. What is this? And this has happened. With many people this has happened, that they have come out of the Quran with confusion. That this book is confusing, I cannot understand. This is meant for infallibles only and this is not meant for us over here. Hence, Holy Quran accomplished this task of plenary recognition. It itself did the recognition, provided we first go to the Quran to ask it that please recognize yourself. Then only we will be able to understand what is the recognition which the Quran is talking about over here. Without recognizing, what will happen? There are two types of issues which have happened with the tafsir. If you like take an example of tafsir, two categories of people have done the tafsir. One were self-interested persons who did the tafsir of the Quran as per their own self-interest. They had a preset ideology in their mind and they interpreted the Quranic verses in accordance with that ideology. Even in Shias and Sunnis, I am not talking about any sects over here, both. Many of our mufassirs in the past have done the tafsir of the Quran with some self-interest. I am not telling self-interest means personal gains of earning money or something, no. Self-interest means I have an ideology. I want to prove the righteousness of Ahlul Bayt. For instance, that is my interest, that I want to prove that Ahlul Bayt are right from the Quran. Every verse which I interpret, I link it and associate it that this verse is related to this Imam, this verse is related to this, which might not be true in all the cases. Quran has not come to prove the authenticity of Ahlul Bayt. Quran has given those criteria to prove Haq wherever it is. Quran has given those criteria. Quran is not a book which is trying to prove personalities. No, it's not a book. Even Quran didn't mention the name of the first Imam. Hence, the self-interested person did the tafsir to impose their own views and thoughts on the Quran. This is what they did. Then there were sincere commentators who did sincere tafsir, but again ended up in astonishment, not reaching the purpose. They left many of the verses saying that maybe Imam Zamana will come and do the tafsir. This Quran in the beginning says Mudallin Nas. It is a book for hidayat for entire humanity. So it is not possible that the Quran leaves something for an infallible Imam only. That certain part of the Quran is only for the Imam and no one can understand it. No, that's not the case. But the tafsir were done in such a way, sincerely they were done, they were not able to understand certain things. Why? Because they could not recognize the Quran. What is the destination where Quran wants me to reach? What is the map of the Quran which was not clear to them? As a result of this, though they were sincere in their views, sincere in their approach, but they couldn't do justice with the Quran out of this knowledge over here. They reached the second stage without going to the first stage. Without going to the first stage, if you go to the second stage of understanding the Quran without recognizing it, you will end up in confusion and astonishment at somewhere in the Quran. You will start to misinterpret things over there, over here. Hence, even if you spend the entire life without recognition of the Quran, this is not going to give me the right benefits and will not take me over there. Now, what are the differences towards Quran due to lack of recognition? Due to lack of recognition, we see groups in our society or in the Muslim Ummah, in the Muslim world, whose approach towards Quran is for different purposes. Like one category of people are those who recite the Quran only for the sake of sawab. They only recite for the sake of sawab. They have no other objective from the Quran. They are not concerned with any association with the Quran beyond Sawab. They want to recite Quran, they consider this book as a book of Sawab. Like in Ramzan, several recitations of the Quran is done. It's like a competition. How many times I have completed the Quran? Why I have completed the Quran so many times? Because I want to gain more and more sawab over here. The delivery of the rites of the Quran lies only in oral recitation for this category of people. They only think that if we recite the Quran orally, it is fine. I have delivered the rites of the Quran, which is not true over here. And why they have developed this mentality? Because they don't know what Quran is. They have not been taught what Quran is. They have not been taught from the Quran also that what Quran is. They have just been told you recite the Quran and you will get sawab over here. Like one Zakir was in India. One of his friends was a very busy shop person. He said, Molana, you know, in the month of Ramzan, my business is such that many customers come in this month to me. Maybe he had some cooking business or food business or whatever it is. He said, I don't get time to recite Quran, now how do I get sawab from them? He said, very simple, you just open the Quran while doing something, you keep on moving your finger on the verses of the Quran and it will start depositing in your account. The sawab will start depositing in your account. Just start to move the fingers. This kind of thinking comes from here, where you don't have the recognition of the Quran. I just want to take sawab. Now for sawab, there are many other ways also of getting sawab. Fine. If I have to take sawab from recitation of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept sawab in so many things. You look at a mu'min and smile, there is sawab. You say salam to a mu'min, there is sawab. There is sawab in many things. You help a yateen, there is sawab. So fine, if I don't want to sit with the Quran, I can at the same time go and get sawab from somewhere else also. Like you ask your child to come to the majlis, he says, I cannot understand Urdu. I will sit at home and maybe watch an English lecture. Fine, if your approach, if your thinking is that I am going to a majlis for the sake of sawab only, it's fine, then he is also getting sawab sitting at home, or how it matters. This is one category of people who is completely away from the Quran, because their approach towards the Quran, their thinking towards the Quran, that is that it is a book of sawab. I have to recite only for the sake of sawab over here. Now there is another category of people which goes a step forward from sawab, and they want to use the Quran for fulfillment of their desires and materialistic needs. Like getting shifa from the Quran, getting cure from the Quran, cure from physical diseases. Getting cure from physical diseases. Like we say, if you recite this ayat, it is going to give shifa of heart. If you have a heart problem, recite any ayat which comes with kalb, you recite it and you will get problems. You will solve the problems of your heart. Any ayat which comes with the word basira, it's a cure for the eye. Like you see this dua Joshne Kabir which you recite. Jibreel did not brought this dua in this form, that the verse number 1 is for eyes, verse number 2 is for ears, verse number 3 is for knee pain, verse number 4 is for finger pain. Even Jibreel is astonished what this Ummah did with this. He is worried, you know, what have you done with this? This is Ism Ilahi. These are the divine attributes and these are meant to go inside me and take me near to the Qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am using it for all. It's a complete return into a biological book. Same thing is done with the Quran. Like, I'll put up a logical point over here. If you say this verse of the Quran cures the physical heart, this piece of flesh, fine. Then there are some medicines also which give cure to the heart. Like you say, aspirin you take, it dilutes your blood and it is for prevention of heart attacks. If the verse of the Quran, which is spiritual, can cure a physical ailment, then a physical medicine should also be able to cure the spiritual ailment. So if you are suffering from ghiba and these things, then take aspirin. It's also a disease of the heart. Then the logic has to work both ways, that Allah created physical cure in the spiritual verse and He did not create spiritual cure in the physical things. It goes against the logic over here. Hence, this is the category of people who started to use the Quran for meeting personal desires. One of the example which I gave was cure. Another one was taweez. Make taweez out of the Quran. Recite Ayatul Kursi for certain benefits. Make taweez for different verses of the Quran. Like there is a fight between husband and wife, and husband doesn't like the wife. She will go to a Baba Molana and say, make a taweez. Molana finds one ayat of Musa and Firaun where they are fighting and brings it over here. Now you will be successful. Now I have given you the ayat of Musa against Firaun. This is Quran has not come for this. All these things are happening because we don't know what Quran is. When we ask the Quran what you are, Quran is nowhere telling that I am for this problem, to resolve your family disputes away. Yes, Quran is resolving family disputes. It is giving the hidayat of how to do it. But not this way, that you take a taweez and hang it in your neck. Or you do wird of some verse of the Holy Quran. This is another problem which we have. We get into wird of the verses of Quran for certain things over here. Like you recite this verse 100 times and you will get cure from headache. You know, it is like you go to a doctor and he gives you a prescription. Say paracetamol. You come home, take a tasbih and start to recite paracetamol, paracetamol, paracetamol. And will it give cure? It will not give cure. You need to take it. You need to absorb it. You need to eat it. It should go inside. It should go in your blood. Then only it is going to give you cure. Same thing applies over here also. We are using Quran for taweez. We are using Quran for faal. I wouldn't say istikhara. Actual istikhara is something else. What we do from the Quran is faal. We open the Quran, which page comes, which ayat comes, fine, good, bad. I was sitting with one, I will not take the name. Very senior Maulana in Pakistan, very senior. Everyone would call him, Maulana, this problem, I have istikhara. I said, open the Quran, khub. 2-3 times he would say khub, then he will say na, alan khub nis. Maulana, I said, I think your ratio is getting imbalanced. So 3 calls first you said khub and now you're telling okay. Says okay, no problem. This is what the people demand, the Maulanas are also giving. Because they know if they don't give, it is going to create a controversy and a big issue that this Maulana doesn't do istikhara. This is not istikhara, this is faal. It's like a draw. You're opening and trying your luck, which page comes, which ayat comes. And that one ayat which is coming, how do you know that the ayat which is a struggle between Ibrahim and Namrud is related to your marriage? Baba, one boy wants to get married to a nice religious girl and Ibrahim comes in between and spoils his marriage that you should not get married. This is not true. This is not, it doesn't make any sense over here. Though, now you would say, yes, many of the mujtahids in whom they do istikhara, yes, many do, but there are many who don't do. Renowned philosophers like Shaykh Motahari, Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah, Jawad-e-Amuli, they don't do this thing. They don't open the file to do istikhara. Istikhara has a process which is there. Istikhara is an accepted fact. Means seeking the will of Allah, seeking khair from Allah, goodness from Allah. There is a process by which you seek goodness. Open Sahih by Sajjadiyah, Imam Sajjad tells you how to do istikhara. There is a dua istikhara. There is dua over there. Shaykh Saduq was against this doing istikhara from the Quran. Shaykh Saduq, who is a well-known accepted personality by all Shias, whether they are from Najaf, whether they are from Qum, everyone accepts Shaykh Saduq, his book is read, his books are referenced over there. Hence, this category of people started to use this for barkat, for blowing, recite the Quran and hook, blow someone, some current will pass, for taqaddus. No, all these things are for what? Are for personal desires. This is not actually what the Quran is meant for. Another category went more beyond that. They started to use the Quran for capturing jinns, ghosts, black magic. All these things Quran started being used for. We are more concerned about jinns, to capture jinns. This is there, no, in this, I don't know how much it is over here, but it is there in India, Pakistan culture. To control, to get a jinn under your control. If this is true that jinns can come under the control of human being, then the same applies for jinns also. The jinn should also be trying to control someone. Have you seen any person going under the control of a jinn? And he is doing what the jinn wants him to do. The Quran has talked very limited thing about jinns. Not much, very limited. The Quran has talked more about malaika. About them we are not interested what malaika are. Because we think malaika are not going to help, you know, they are in the skies. they come only to the prophets anymore, but jinns are over here. If I can get control of one jinn, I can solve all the problems. Another category, which is very dangerous, is they say that the Quran is only meant for infallibles. It is not meant for ordinary person. Ordinary person should not try to understand the Quran. It is beyond the level of understanding of ordinary person. It is only meant for infallibles. And if you read the Quran, if you try to understand, you will be misguided. Now, this belief is even today prevailing in a sect which is known as Akbariyat. You know about Akbariyat? Akbariyat is a sect which is very dominant, primarily in India, which is in the south of India, in Hyderabad, which is the markaz of Akbariyat. Akbariyat is there. They are formal. You can go on the internet, you can see their websites, akbari.com, all these websites are there. And it is their belief that they believe that Quran is only meant for infallibles. They have two very dangerous beliefs, two poisonous beliefs. Shaykh Mutari says it's a poisonous belief. One is that Quran is only meant for infallibles, you cannot understand it. Second is that Quran is distorted. The Quran which we have is not complete. There were 40 chapters of the Quran, 40 paras of the Quran. It is only 30 which is available. And even today the Wahhabis and Sunnis criticize the Shias for this. This has come from Akbariyat. They promoted these thoughts. As a result of this, everyone distanced from the Quran. Because Akbariyat believes that you should not use your akhla in any matters of religion. Understanding means using your akhla to understand the Quran. You should not use anything. If an imam says it is halal, accept it as an halal. If an imam says it is haram, accept it as an haram. Don't try to use your akhla at all over here. Whereas Quran is giving an invitation of tafakkur and tadabbur continuously across the Quran. They say this tafakkur and tadabbur is meant for infallibles, not for ordinary people. As a result of this, a big quorum of our sect got away from the Quran. They don't read the Quran. If you go to a place like Hyderabad, no Quran. The Akbaris don't go near the Quran. Why? Because of lack of recognition. And there was a time when Akbariyat was about to dominate complete Shia. Few hundred years back, when scholars like Wahid Behbani put up a big struggle, and as a result of this struggle, the system of Ijtihad and Marjaiyat came into existence. Marjaiyat is an outcome of struggle against Akbariyat. To counter Akbariyat, the ulama then devised a system of practicing religion. Otherwise, Akbariyat would say no. Akbar means khabr, means hadith. Only look at the hadith. If hadith says, whatever you understand from the hadith, do it. Do not refer to the Quran over here. Hence, what is meant by recognition of Quran? Recognition of Quran means to understand first what the Quran is and then go inside the messages of the Quran. It is like when you read a good book. In the book, there is a preface or a prologue. What does the prologue talks about? Who is the author of the book? What were his qualifications? What was his vision? And this book is about what subject? The prologue and the preface which you read in the book, it orients your mind towards a particular direction, that this is a scientific book, this is a philosophical book, this is a historical book, and the author says, I am only talking about the facts or I am analyzing the events. What is he doing? He talks about these things in the prologue, which makes you easy to understand the book over. Otherwise, if you get inside the book, a complex book, without reading the prologue, you will not know where the author wants me to take towards. What is his end over here? Where he wants to take me? What's the destination over here? Hence, an academic example of recognition of Quran is this. Like in Arabics and Arabic books, they have 8 principles which they write in every book. 8 principles before you enter inside the book. Introduction of the science, introduction of the author, purpose and the need, the level or the degree of science. Like this book is meant for preliminary students, or to read this book you need to have some primary understanding before all these things over here. I will not go in more details over here. Another example to understand the recognition of Quran is like, you go to a conference and there is a speaker who comes and speaks. If you don't know who is the speaker, you will not be attentive towards him. Like when I am coming, you are sending an email introducing me. Why you are sending an email? Fine, people know 9 o'clock is the program, everyone will come. Because you want people to recognize the speaker first, then they will come, and when they will come, they will pay the right attention towards him. Otherwise, they will not be attentive. Even the best of the speaker comes, and if he is not recognized, he is giving the best of the message also, it will take a lot of time to people to appreciate him. But if you know that Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi is coming over here, you will see all the crowd coming. And even if he speaks the basic hadith, you will say, Alhamdulillah, very good hidayah, very good everything. Why? Because you have recognized what he is, what this personality is all about. Hence, this is what is meant by recognition of Quran. You recognize what Quran is. You recognize its status. You recognize the map which the Quran is giving. And then you go towards the Quran. But unfortunately, these things have not happened. And the Quran knew that these things will not happen. So Quran did the recognition. And also in the Holy Quran, the Prophet is complaining about his ummah. The Prophet says, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ أَتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. What the Prophet is telling? And the messenger cried out, Ya Rabbi, O my Lord, Inna Qawmi, surely my people, he's not talking about others. He's talking about those who believe in the Prophet, those who follow the Prophet, those who obedient to the Prophet. My people have treated this Quran, Attakadu Hadal Qur'ana Mahjura, means they have abandoned the Quran, they have forsaken the Quran. Now we might go and challenge Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, come over here in the month of Ramadan. How many Quran we are completing? You come to our homes and see Quran is there in every house. You go and look at the number of Qurans which are printed every year. It's, if you go in the book of records, the book which is printed the most in a year is the Quran. And the book which is distributed free most is the Quran. There are printing presses in Saudi Arabia and Iran which are only printing Quran 24/7. The Quran is printed in beautiful scripts, very high quality paper. It is even printed in gold. There are different models of Quran made. Then also the Prophet is complaining, my God, this Quran is forsaken. There's a contradiction over here. Either the Prophet is not giving the right complaint, mazallah, the Prophet is not telling the truth, or our relationship with the Quran is not correct. What Prophet is expecting our relationship to be with the Quran is missing. This is what he is telling, that you, my ummah, my qawm has forsaken the Quran. They have put the Quran behind their backs. They have Quran physically present inside their home as a sacred book, as a book of taqaddus, as a book of barakat, as a book of sawab. Everything is there. They are reciting the Quran, but still they have forsaken the Quran. They are not deriving the purpose from the Quran for which the Quran has come for. They are not taking that benefit from the Quran. And hence the Quran is forsaken. It is not on that position in our lives which it deserves. The Quran deserves a specific position in our lives, which is missing over here. And this is what is the abandonment of the Quran, which is an oppression on the Quran. And to come out of this, we need to get a recognition of the Quran over here. Hence, before we get into more details of this, I think we have some time. I would like to first introduce the Quran in the terms of Quran. Just one introduction. And then we have some more things to talk about. What are the difficulties in understanding and what are the obstacles in recognizing the Quran? All these things are important discussions too. When you go later on, inshallah, in the level of understanding, these things will help you a lot over here. The first thing about the Quran, when the Quran itself recognizes and identifies itself, that it is kalam of Allah, it's the word of Allah, it's the speech of Allah. Quran introduces itself that this is a word of Allah, this is a speech of Allah. Though metaphorically it is mentioned, we can say, how is it? What do you mean by speech of Allah? Allah is not having tongue, Allah is not having a body. So what is meant by speech of Allah? Speech is present in both creation and creator. Both have speech, but speech of creation is what? It's a process by which it's an act of talking, speaking, where you take in the breath goes in the lungs, the air goes in the lungs, it comes out, it produces a voice, and when it comes out, it hits your ears, that becomes a speech. In the creation, it is not like this. In the creation, what is the meaning of speech of Allah? What is the meaning of kalam of Allah? The kalam of Allah is af'al of Allah. It's the act of Allah. All the fail of Allah, all the acts of Allah are kalam of Allah, are the speech of Allah. Because there is no such thing as Allah is speaking. The entire universe is full of af'al ilahi, the acts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's full. Everywhere you see this, rains are coming, breeze is blowing, food is there. All these things are af'al ilahi, the fail of Allah. All these things are speech of Allah, the word of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us through His af'al. But we don't have to listen to this with our ears. We have to listen to this speech by our hearts, by the qalb. Qalb will listen to this speech over here. The essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is delivering all these actions over here. Now, what are the actions of Allah? What are the acts of Allah? Acts of Allah also does not need any organs. For us to perform the acts, we need hands and legs and everything. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, af'al of Allah are action, are intentions of Allah. Irada, just intentions. As Allah says, irada shay'an an yakul lahu kun fayakun. When Allah intends to do something, He says, be and it happens. We recite this very often in Surah Yasin, kun fayakun. When Allah says it happens and it happens, means what? Intention. For human being, if you compare with the creation, how it happens? How are our acts performed? We first look from our senses. We acquire awareness of a thing, particular thing. Like for example, I want to eat something. I see with my eyes the food. I know what this food is. My akal tells me by my knowledge what is this food is. When I know this, it develops a shock inside me, an eagerness inside me to go towards it over here. This shock then develops an intention that now I should buy this. And after this intention, the movement of faculties start. Then my hand moves towards it to pick it over here, and then the organs deliver the act over here. This is how a fail happens in the creation, in human beings. Where first it starts with awareness. Awareness results into desire. Desire results into intention. Intention results into movement of faculties. Movement of faculty results into delivery of act by the limbs over here. This is the process which human being follows. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no such thing. Allah is alim, He has awareness of everything. Allah just intends and it happens. Kun fayakun. Allah's irada is His af'al. His intention is His fail over here. Hence, man can also perform action in two ways. One is by this process, and second is by intention. All these mu'jizat which you see, the miracles of the Prophet, not the miracles which you see in small villages and azan khana, no, those are not miracles. Where you see water coming from the alam, this is miracle. No, it is not. This is a psychological state. I will come to these discussions later on. That three types of states are there in a human being's nafs. Three types of states: state of illusion, state of information, and state of marifat. These are important discussions to understand. Even the Quran at times turns into a state of illusion. It is no more marifat. Hence, miracles which were performed by the prophets,
were my intentions? When a human being achieves qurb of Allah, as I was discussing yesterday, when he achieves that level of Khalifatullah, his intentions become so strong that his soul starts to dominate the body to an extent that the dependency on the body the soul has reduces. It starts to reduce. As it starts to reduce, with his irada, with his intention, he can do many things. With his intention. There are people with their intention, by just looking at a mirror, can break the mirror. This is not mojiza. This is the strengthening of irada which happens in a person. And it is not necessary that it happens because of only spiritual journey. It's a spiritual, it's a metaphysical journey. But not necessary that there is divinity involved. These attributes are present. If someone is acquiring that level of karama and doing it, it is there. Hence, men can also perform actions by intentions to a certain extent. Not the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. All the prophets were having the power to perform miracles. But they never performed miracles only when Allah permitted to do them. When Prophet Isa would cure a person, how was he curing? Would he give them medicines? Would he give them injections? Would he give them some herbs? No. He would say, Be'iznillah, Be'iznillah. Home, get up. Get up. Be'iznillah. When Allah permits, then only I will use my irada to do this. Then only it becomes a divine act over here. Hence, even Amir al-Mumineen. We say Amir al-Mumineen, we think that Amir al-Mumineen was a big muscle man and he would, you know, go to a gym every day and have very good muscles to pull the door of Khaybar. You ask him in Najr Balagha, he says, how did he do this? He says in Najr Balagha, he says, when he was asked, how did you approach the, such a heavy door of Khaybar? It was very heavy, though what our Zakir is present is something very different. You need 100 camels to carry the key of the door of Khaybar. It was not like that. But still it was quite a heavy door which couldn't be uprooted by an ordinary person over there. Amir al-Mu'minin, when he was asked, he said, I swear by Allah that I did not uproot the door of Khaybar by my physical strength, but with the divine strength. This means I did not even touch the door with my hands. I just intended for uprooting it and it got uprooted. It was just the niyat I did, the intention I did and it got uprooted. And we think that it was a muscle power. It was not a muscle power. It was a faith power. It was a power of iman. It was a power of qurb of qurb ilallah. It was that power which resulted into this act over here. Hence, a question which might come up, fundamental question. There are many questions which are there in our mind. We don't answer out of fear. We don't question out of fear, specifically in the chapter of Tawheed. If some child asks, why did Allah created man? He says, oh, Baba, you're kafir, you're doing shirk, you're asking this question. Or someone says, what was Allah doing before the creation? He says, you ask your child, you scold him, he says, shut up, what is this? Don't ask this question. What will Allah do after Qiyamah? When Zakir answered this question in Pakistan, you know, said, what was Allah doing before creation? He says, these mujtahid, these faqis don't know what was Allah doing before creation. I'll tell you. He said, Allah was doing Ali Ali before the creation. This is what he was doing. No. These are questions which need answers. And the young generation, they need answers to this question. If you don't answer, they say, fine, this religion is not complete. There is a deficiency in this religion. It's not able to answer. My aqal is raising a question, it has to answer. Any question which is raised by the aqal needs an answer. Because aqal is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The power and the ability of aqal to raise a question is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah who created thirst also created water. It's up to human being to go and just find that water. That's left to the human being. The answers are there. It's not that it is not there over here. This is the question which comes up. Why does Allah does not need means? Why Allah only intends and it happens? Why Allah is not dependent on means? Why? Because whenever you need some means, it is a sign of deficiency and defect. It's a sign of shortcoming. It's a sign of a defect, it's a deficiency. When I need a means, like for example, I can walk on my feet, But when a person becomes weak and old, he needs a stick. Walking with a stick in a hand is what does it mean? It means this person is weak, he is having a deficiency, a shortcoming in himself, and he needs some means over here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's essence is kamil, is perfect. Perfection doesn't need means. The more you also achieve perfection, means are reduced. An insan-e-kamil is not looking for small materialistic things to live his life. Why? Because his kamal, the way he is going forward towards perfection, these things are no more a deficiency for him. These things are required for those who are deficient. Like a child needs toys, because the child has nothing to do to pass his time. What will child? Because his maturity level of the child is very low. You tell the child to sit and look at the skies and acquire the marifat of this kainat, it is beyond the level of the child to do it. Hence, how will the child spend his time? In play, amusement, lahu lahaf. Because his maturity level is such. But if a child is sitting with a robot and playing enough, 60 years old person is also doing the same thing, what will you say? This old man is also playing with this small toy over there. He said, this person is insane. He has lost his senses. This is a deficiency in him. He doesn't need these things now. As you achieve perfection, the dependency on means reduces. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's essence is the most perfect essence. Most perfect means that he does not need any means at all. Absolutely zero means. No means required at all over here. Hence, Allah does not need means because Allah is a perfect essence over here. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says, this is a very nice sermon. We can appreciate this if the hearts are prepared. He says, motion and stillness are not present in him. Like movement and stagnancy both are not present in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can those things that occur in his creation come on him, and that which from the very beginning was created by him, how can that revert to him? Motion and stillness are in the creation. How are those things which are present in creation come in the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That thing which he made to appear, how can that appear inside him? How can that appear inside him? Else his essence would have become subject to diversity, and his reality would have become divisible into parts, due to which his reality would have been prevented from being deemed eternal. If there was a front to him, there would have been a back also. He says Allah is on the sky, so who is on the earth? Who is on the earth? This is deficiency. If Allah is in only one place, this is deficiency. Then other place is vacant. We teach our child, where is Allah? Up. No. Sometimes we point up is to express the highness and greatness of Allah, not the physical presence of Allah in the sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present everywhere. Everywhere also doesn't mean outside everywhere. Inside, outside, everywhere. Allah has not no place or no location. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, if his essence had deficiencies, then he would need completion. And this way he would have developed the science of creation inside him over here. Hence the Quran, which is the speech of Allah, means what? Kun fayakun means intention. Order and actions are only one. Irada, command, intentions, order, fail are all one over here. When we read the Quran, Quran says Quran is kalam of Allah. It doesn't mean Allah is speaking or writing with his hand and giving it to us. No. This notion should come out of our minds over here. Again, there is a verse of Amir al-Mu'mineen from Nahjul Balagha. I will not go into that because the time is short over here. Hence, the Quran is a speech of Allah, which is the intention and act of Allah, and not like human speech over here. The point which I made, to come to this point now, the last point, and then we will end the session over here. Now, if Quran is a speech of Allah, for a moment think like a speech of a creation. Like I am speaking, say Allah is speaking. Since you are alone in this room, all alone at night time, you come over here, there is no one. And a voice comes to you. Ahmad, someone calls you. He says, who is he? Who are you? He says, I am your Lord. I am your Allah. Think that it is correct. Your Allah called you. What will be the impact of this particular moment in your life? Will you ever forget this moment? Will you ever forget this moment? You will go and start to speak to everyone. This is what happened with me over here. If we see some noor in our dreams, we start to talk, oh, I saw maybe Imam coming up or someone coming up in my dream. We don't forget that moment. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us in an isolation where there is no one and heard the voice of Allah and it is confirmed that it was my Lord, this impression would not go out from my life ever. The Quran is the entire book which is speech of Allah. So when I am listening to the Quran, the impression should be same. The impression should be, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you the believers. If in this isolated room one sound comes, O you the believers sitting in this conference room, I am your Lord, what will happen? But when the Quran is telling, there is no effect. Because the recognition of Quran is not there. We do not recognize the Quran as kalam of Allah, as a speech of Allah. If we recognize this as a speech of Allah, the effect will be different. When a Qari recites a Quran with a very nice tone, you are impressed. You are not impressed with kalam of Allah, you are impressed with the Qari, not with the kalam. You bring a small child who recites the Quran. Like these days, you know, this jugglery happens with the Quran. A child is made to sit with the Quran. He said, come on, recite this surah, this ayat, you recite. He will recite. You recite this ayat from back to front, he will recite. You recite diagonally, he will recite. And you are impressed. Look at this child, he is hafiz in Quran, he is an expert in the Quran. Fine, all these tricks or skills which he has developed, these are the skills of the child, not of the Quran. You are getting impressed from the child who is reciting Quran in this manner, not from the Quran. Quran is expecting you to get an effect and impression of the Quran on yourself, not of the Qari. The Qari's tone should take you towards the Quran. Not that it should take you towards the Qari. That this Qari is very nice, he's reciting with such a nice sweet tone. You're impressed by him. Whereas the Kalam of Allah is not leaving any impression on my heart. When Quran says it is Kalam of Allah, your perception, your realization, your feelings towards the Quran should be such. And this is what the Quran says. There are some people when they recite the Quran, tears start to flow from their eyes. Why? Because they feel that this is their Lord who is speaking to them. Why this happens? The Imams would faint when reciting the Quran. Because they would go into a state of wajd, which is a state of passion. Wajd means passion. You get into a passionate state. This doesn't happen with us. So many people will recite Quran every day in the evening in Ramzan. You see anyone going in a passionate state? No one goes into a passionate state. But if a Qari recites in a very nice way, you will start to nod your head in this way, that way it starts to happen. It is Qari skills, not Quran. Quran is not leaving an impression on me over here. Why? Because we are not prepared over here. We are not prepared. There is no state change in ourselves. Our state does not change. Kalam of Allah should change our state. We should get into a state of passion, state of wajd. It does not happen. Why? Because of this. We don't have recognition of the Quran. We don't realize this as a book of Allah. You do not get attentive over here. Like when I am reciting a lecture, in between when I quote a hadith, you get your attention more towards the hadith. Why? Because prior to the hadith, it was my words. Moment hadith came, it was the words of Ahlul Bayt or Amir al-Mu'mineen. Your attention immediately came towards that. Because you have recognition of Ahlul Bayt to some extent that they are an infallible imam and it is a word of an infallible imam. Whereas what I am speaking is not an infallible person. Hence, why this realization is not happening from the Quran? Quran should change my state. The first effect of Quran should be it should change my state. It is kalam of Allah. It is the word of Allah. It is the speech of Allah. If Allah is my beloved, then my heart, my ears, my eyes, everything will concentrate on the speech of Allah. The lower the level of ours is, the less the level of state of change will be. You have to come to the Quran as an ashik, as a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you come as a lover, because Quran is addressing the ashik of Allah, the lovers of Allah, those who are in ishq of Allah. Quran is not addressing traders who are coming to Quran to get some personal benefits out of the Quran. They are not the addressees of the Quran. And فَإِذَا سَالِكَ عِبَادِي أَمْنِي And the Prophet, and the Quran says, O Prophet, they come to you and ask you, where is Allah? We want Allah. There were many who would come to the Prophet and say, Oh, Ya Rasulullah, I am starving, I need some khajur, I need some dates. The Prophet would give him. Ya Rasulullah, I have this problem, Rasulullah will help me. Ya Rasulullah, I am heavy, I am not getting married, I have become Ya Rasulullah will say, fine, this Arab is there, he has a daughter, go to him. There were very few who would come to Mr. Rasulullah and say, we don't want anything, we only want Allah. فَإِذَا سَالَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي The Quran refers to them as abd. They are the abd of Allah who come and ask only for Allah. And then the Quran replies. Quran doesn't tell the Rasul, O Rasul, tell them our reply. No. Quran directly replies to them and says, إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ Tell them we are very close to you. If you want to find Allah, if you want to find us, we are very close to you. إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ How kareem? حَبْلَ الْوَرِيمِ As closer to your jugular vein. We are in yourself. This is what the Quran is expecting its addressee to be. Who come towards the Quran to find the reality. Who don't come towards the Quran to find manosalwa. No. Quran doesn't want such kind of people who come near to the Quran for the sake of getting barakah for this. All these things are automatic. It will come on its own over there. Like for example, you are washing clothes. Like these days you use a washing machine. But when you wash the clothes with your hand, the cloth is dirty. After washing clothes, when you look at your hands are also clean. Your hands are also white. Your intention was not to wash the hands. Your intention was to wash the clothes. But the effect of washing the clothes was such that your hands also got purified. Your hands also got washed. So if you come towards the Quran with the recognition and to find the actual hidayat from the Quran, all these other things, barakat and sawab will come on its own. You don't have to go for it. It is the narrow-mindedness you go for this purpose which is going to happen on its own over here. Like you go to a majlis, food will be served after the majlis. So it is foolishness to go to the majlis just for the sake of food. Go over there, receive hidayat and you will get the food. Food is for everyone over there. Hence, this has to be happened over here, over here. Our state should change over here. Inshallah, we'll continue this discussion tomorrow from here. And actually this discussion which I did today itself was a 2-3 hours discussion, but I have abridged it and summarized it a lot so that to move a little bit faster into the further discussions about the Quran. You can go on the internet and there are around 16 lectures on this subject in English, Recognition of Quran. And I'm summarizing those 15-16 lectures, maybe 3 or 4 lectures over here, and then take it further from there. Because last year we couldn't complete those series somewhere else. So inshallah I will try to take it forward and complete this series of lectures with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we go forward, we will be referring to many verses of the Quran with the recognition which we acquire to see how these verses could be interpreted when you know the map of the Quran. When you know the map of the Quran, you know how do I read this verse? who is the addressee of the Quran?
When the Quran says Ya Bani Israel, I think it is referring to Jews, not to you. Like people say these days that, oh, do not talk about history. That time was different, that era was different. So people say, like, when you talk about Islamic State and compare the Islamic States today with the state of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they say that was different. Baba, then the Quran is talking to the Prophet about Musa, the stories of Musa, the stories of Hud, which were 1000 years before. The Prophet should have said the same thing, Jibreel, please stop, talk to me about now. Don't talk to me about Musa, Hud and Saleh. I don't even know them, I don't know where they are. I don't have any books about them. Why are you narrating these stories to me? Because they had something to do with the Ummah of the Holy Prophet. These stories were not stories. They carry principles, laws and messages inside them which are universal. And we will prove this from the Quran, that everything mentioned in the Quran is for entire humanity from first day till the end of the day. Quran itself will show you, will prove you that this Quran is book for Nas. This is for entire humanity, for all eras to be here. This, all these questions which come in our discussions, in our gathering, is an outcome of this. We don't have recognition of the Quran. This is why we start to interpret things with our Western ideologies, with the Western thinking which is there inside our self-aware. So inshallah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this holy month of Ramzan, the month of blessing, the month of getting proximity to Allah, and the month of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah open our hearts towards the Quran, and may we be blessed with this opportunity and tawfiq to feel ourselves in the presence of the speech of Allah, in the presence of the word of Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change our hearts towards the Quran. May we live our lives in accordance with the principles of the Holy Quran, and may we establish the Holy Quran in our lives, implement its constitution, and follow our lives, everything in our lives, step by step, in accordance with the Holy Quran. Over here, recite Salawat.